Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's a great Monday night tonight. Some old friends that have been on the Flow Guitar Show, and we've been good friends and just killer guitar players here tonight. And we're going to take a look at some stuff that I saw back in January. I went over to the Yamaha booth. And I just turned the corner right in front of the door, right to the door, and I saw Andy and Armando, and they said, "You got to check this out." They just dragged me over and showed me this very, very cool amp and these new guitars that Yamaha was releing at the time. So I said, "Well, you got to come on the show and talk about this stuff, because I played them and I tried this stuff, and it was just really cool." So I finally got them on. Not their fault. It's just been pretty crazy. But I got them here, and I just want to welcome Andy Winston and Armando Vega. It's great to have you back on the show. And you brought a bunch of stuff. It's really cool.
Thanks for having us back, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Now, you guys had told me about these guitars, the RevStar series, that were and what I wanted to kind of go through how they developed them and how they came about. Because it's an interesting guitar. There's a wide range, a price range, depending on what you get on the guitar, the types of woods and stuff. But they make a pretty reasonable one, and it's a monster player. I remember playing the cheapest model, so to speak, and it really was a killer guitar. So go ahead and give me a little bit of the backgrounder.
Yeah. By the way, thanks, Jeff, for having us back on. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, it really started about 3 or 4 years ago, really, where it really started coming to fruition. You know, we knew that we were going to develop an entire new series of electric guitars. It really started about 8 years ago, but what really kind of took into form was about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We started kind of, you know, we knew we wanted to do something really different. But we wanted to make sure that we captured, you know, the essence of Yamaha and what we're about. Mm-hmm. And also kind of just really take a look and for a change, really get the voice of the customer and kind of just looking at the trends and what people like about Yamaha and what's exciting about Yamaha. And the thing that just kind of happened by accident was, at the time we're designing this guitar, there was a style of motorcycles from the 50s and the 60s called cafe racers that were kind of something that was being embraced on the motor side of Yamaha too. And somehow the designers just kind of got this great idea of just kind of putting it all together and giving the entire series, the RevStar series, kind of that vibe. You know, the cafe racer style. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily looking like a motorcycle, but just kind of with the matted finish, steel wool finish, some of the textures and the feel and the vibe. And then it was a totally new body shape. And I'm telling you, man, from the very beginning, we, you know, it's been accepted every step of the way of the development, you know, the players all around the world. I mean, this was global, a global effort. And, you know, from players to regular guy on the street type of player to the professional players, and all of it had a lot to do with Donaldson. This is probably the first time that we've kind of really stepped outside ourselves and really designed a guitar for the people, and it's just been really embraced.
Well, you guys, I remember the last time Armando was here, you showed us the Pacifica, which is not a, you know, that's not too shabby of a guitar. I thought they were pretty amazing. But I like the fact that the range is wild, you know, of models is wide enough so it's accessible to the new upcoming musician and the musician that, you know, you do make some really beautiful ones, and they're, you know, you pay for the pristine woods and all of that. But I mean, at the same point, they all play pretty. The thing I've always liked about Yamaha, even with their midline, their budget line and all that, the playability is consistent. And as a student guitar, if somebody doesn't have a lot of money and they want, even with their acoustic guitars, they were always, well, even we were talking, I know that they reissued the FG-180, just an aside, but that guitar was not their top-of-the-line guitar. It was kind of, I paid like $200 for it back in the day, and it was a great guitar. I ended up using it for sessions for years, but it was a good guitar, but it wasn't terribly expensive, and their midline especially were great balanced guitars, balanced tone, and I'm speaking acoustically but also electrically.
Yeah.
So it's nice, and these guitars, I did get to try them over at the show, and the necks are really nice. They're easy to play, and they're just you have a lot of different options. You can explain some of the different types of pickups and
sure. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the playability side of it. That's something we always take into account, you know, the playability, how the guitar is going to age, you know, and the sound quality and all that. You know, our woodworking know-how goes back 128 years now. You know, it's where it all started, Hamamatsu in Japan. But this time around, it was like we wanted to capture, I mean, sometimes guitars are kind of a fashion statement in a way, and we wanted a look that was, you know, foreign, familiar, and different. So that's why we went with this kind of body. And so for, you know, I personally think they're really sexy and cool at the same time.
They look, I mean, it's a nice body shape, and it's easy access all the way up to the top of the fretboard.
So they're all set neck construction, obviously double cut. And from the very, you know, the price varies all the way from, let's just say that you can get it for, you know, it starts at, you know, around $400, usual street price, and they go up to, the Japanese model is under $1,800-ish, we like to say.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's
can't really
a lot of,
it's good to check with your local dealers. But, you know, they're also, so, and then they all kind of have very different motif, you know, in strength. So they all have, you know, they're all very mahogany-based. With a maple cap, and the entry level is based on NATO, a wood that we're very familiar with using with our acoustics. NATO is often referred to as Eastern mahogany. Not too sure how many people are familiar with that out there, but you know, it's a great material to build guitars from. It's grown in the East and it's available in abundance. But you know, that's if it was rare, all of a sudden it would be a very coveted kind of material. So we started out with the RS-320 with a ceramic dual humbucker pickups, very playable, smaller frets, medium jumbo frets, great guitar. It goes up to the 420, which then has a maple cap, still NATO. As we go into the 620, the 502 dual P90s, all mahogany. Then you get into the steel wool finishes where it really starts to take on that kind of Motors vibe, that hot rod kind of feel.
Yeah, I remember seeing those at the show.
Yeah. Now, something new that we added to the 420 on up is that we now have this dry switch control that's on your tone knob. And, you know, I mean, personally for me, it's, I don't like to over-explain it, but to me, it's like instead of using a coil tap, which basically kills the tone of a humbucker, it still gives you a very single kind of a, I mean, it gives you kind of a single coil sound, but you still get the full range of a humbucker. How would you describe it, Andy? I mean, it's kind of,
it's more like a bass roll-off. So it takes everything at about 200 or 300 hertz and sends it directly to ground, but leaves the pickup grounded, so you won't have any noise or 60-cycle hum issues when you're in the dry switch mode. It doesn't pull moisture out of the room. It won't dry your clothes. But what it will do, it will add a little chime and sparkle to the humbucker sound.
What to call spank. Oh, okay. Spanky-licious.
Well, we have him yep. through the amp. Go ahead and show this dry switch. And you have two different guitars, and each one explain. Now, this is Armando.
So right now, with the full range. Then the dry switch. A little bit more spank.
I think what it does, it adds a core of versatility to this guitar. So rather than just having a double humbuckered guitar, which everybody does one variation or another, by adding this dry switch or this bass roll off, really gives us a little more versatility to being from being a three sound guitar to basically being a six sound sort of instrument.
It's great because it still works with P90s, which it still works with P90s. Now, as we go up in the line, we have the 502T, RS502T. That one is probably the most popular model right now. So if you want to look that up online, just go to YamahaGuitars.com. It's the RS-502T. It's got a beautiful tailpiece. And then Andy, right now, what he's holding is the RS-720B with a big speed. The Filtertron style pickups on that one, of course, if you can look at the picture on that one. On that one, the dry switch kind of operates a little bit different than on the humbuckers. It's not so subtle.
And what's cool about it, we were talking about each guitar in the series, Jeff, is certainly different from the one to the left or the right of it.
Right.
This one, for instance, has the big speed tremolo on it, has the locking tuners, but a very low output humbucker. Yeah. So almost emulating what a first generation Filtertron style pickup would have been a very, very low output, but dead quiet. No noise, no hum, no buzz.
Yeah.
And I have to mention, this room in here, we have fluorescent lights. It's not buzzing.
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, that was one of the first things that I ran it through the test, stood in front of the big amplifiers and neon signs, and I took it out for a spin, and it was a really awesome experience to be able to play and not feel that noise, especially in the, especially when you start dealing with pickups like the Filtertron. And then I love that flame top too. On the flame really pops on the 720.
The one Andy has is beautiful.
There's also a wall, the wall fade that's beautiful too.
Kind of a gray burst almost.
Yeah, very unique kind of feel. And then from there we go up to the 820, the RS-820CR, which we didn't bring. Those are super hot right now. It's hard to get a hold of those. Mm-hmm. But now currently shipping, the full line is shipping right now. And then the CR represents the Cafe Racer. That Cafe Racer style really pops on that guitar.
Now, the one you're playing right now, which one is that?
This is the RSP-20CR. So this is sort of the Japanese handcrafted version of that 820.
RSP-20CR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and this one is what it's got a really great treatments, handcrafted in Yamaha Music Craft.
The Tone Pro's wraparound bridge is a big one on this. It's fully adjustable for intonation, height, and pitch. And then the one cool thing about this is we designed our own pickups. So once we decided on body shape and wood composition, we started winding pickups. And once we found out the pickup that we liked the best with that wood combination, we then had somebody make it for us. But these are all Yamaha Guitar Development designed pickups specifically for these specific instruments. Yeah.
That's something that we do pretty much on all guitars. Like, for instance, whether it's a Pacifica or an RS, that pickup isn't interchangeable. They're all voiced for the guitar. It's lab coat stuff here. I've seen them at work. Every guitar is voiced. I've tried to swap pickups from one guitar to another when I first came here, and I've noticed it's just not right. Something's not right. And as I looked into it, they had different part numbers, all their pickups. Right. And then same thing with acoustics. If you have a full body and a small body, even though they have the same model number, those pickups are all voiced. That's how crazy anal we can be.
Well, let me ask you to pull the NATO guitar. Now, I remember yep. NATO because your classicals back in the day when I was when I got my FG 180, yep. all the classicals were using NATO back then.
Yeah.
So they really. Do you need me to hold that?
Yeah. Here, doing a little cable management yep. here. Okay, we just got an extra 10 knocked off that.
Yeah.
You want me to plug it in?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right.
Now, this one, what I like about the 320s, with the especially this finish, is kind of a racing kind of a color. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going on with the guitar line, is that there's, you know, there's finishes, there's names, like Rusty Rat.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are inspired by the motorcycle mm-hmm. side of things.
And if you're familiar with the Yamaha Yellow of the 70s, this guitar is pretty much that Yamaha Yellow. So we call it our stock yellow finish.
Before you play, just turn the volume down. Listen. You can hear that guitar is resonant. I mean, it's loud. That's through his microphone, his voice yeah. microphone.
That's the entry level right there. The thing about it, it's got a smaller neck, smaller frets, and super light and really comfortable. We knew that it's going to be a younger player, less experienced player, but you know what? I've been gigging with this
that
thing.
That thing screams.
Yeah.
It's as a rock guitar, that thing is great.
And we kind of anticipated because of the price point and, like Armando said, with the slimmer neck with a medium fret wire, we thought this would be the number one selling guitar, that it'd be entry-level guys that kind of would migrate to it. But our numbers are proving differently. Our numbers are proving
right.
that.
Right. Well, I mean, I like more a experienced slim neck. Pleasure. I don't. That kind of puzzles me a little bit because that's what I'd want anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other necks, it's not that the other necks are that much more girthier. Yeah, it's just a little bit slimmer on this one. Something that I think it was early decided when we were doing a lot of these, you know, surveys. We went to all the top schools and had them try different necks and different weights and body shapes and stuff. And I mean, we went a little over the top with this series, but it was a really important thing for Yamaha to move forward with an right. electric guitar line. The Pacifica line's done really great, but it was time for you know, something new. The SBG line, is so expensive to make that, you know, we couldn't really go there and bring that down at a lower price point. Right. It's almost not accepted by the SBG guys. They wouldn't accept something like that. So we wanted to come up with something a little bit different, not so genre specific. And then
to sum it up, it's a workhorse. It's a working guitar. It's for a gigging musician. Go ahead and kind of show since we have this guitar here, show the different pickups.
Sure.
So you can get an idea. Now, this one doesn't have the that switch.
It doesn't have the dry switch.
Yeah.
That's now, the bridge pickup.
That's the bridge pickup. And I'm going to go to the
great.
To that the neck sounds. Pickup. And then here's a middle.
It reminds me of I have a double cutaway Les Paul. It's just the mahogany. Mm-hmm. It has that type of sound. It gets that really nice, like a SG slab.
It breathes a little bit. It's a little more open.
Well, it's obvious that the wood's affecting it because it's so loud without the pickups. So it's resonating. You know, that's, you know, instead of a, like my, for example, I can only relate to my old guitars, my Les Paul Custom. It's heavy.
Yeah.
So when you play it, there's no sound. Yeah. It's just a rock, you know. But this thing resonates. It's almost like a hollow body.
Yeah, and then the way it's rounded off around the body, it has a different slightly different contour, but this is just really comfortable. And
that's solid. It's not chambered, right?
Nope. Solid wood.
All solid, man. And, you know, of course, we as far as wood procurement, we buy from the best, you know, from pianos and marimbas to handcrafted drum sets. So, you know, and we all naturally dry our wood
You know, we're very stringent about how, you know, all that stuff.
So well, you just mentioned Yamaha pianos. Thank you very much. Very, very good. Yeah, you guys definitely know your woods. But yeah, that thing, that little guy's, and that's the $400.
Yeah, this is a RS320 available in you know, the in the red copper as well. Is it red copper?
Red copper, which is kind of like a metal flake, and then a black metal flake as well.
Oh wow! And then, so those are cool. Yeah. Those are cool looking guitars.
This one's my favorite. It really pops on stage, and it's different. You know, I don't have very many yellow guitars. You know, and this one's really is an attention grabber, and yeah, just love it. The whole line, the 620 is a big favorite of mine too, being kind of a 70s rocker guy. Mm-hmm. That one has a little bit of lineage with our past, I believe, with Theo.
There was a guitar, Jeff, back in the 70s that Yamaha did called the Super Flighter, which was mm-hmm. an offset double cutaway, two humbuckers with a tune-o-matic, kind of a stock thing. Mm-hmm. Yamaha made it for about three and a half years. Currently, you can find it on all your auction sites, going for very, very good money, because it was a fairly rare piece. So they used that kind of as the middle of the drawing board.
Yeah.
They went downscale to the 320 and then upscale to the 820, kind of looking at the Super Flighter guitars.
Was that the one that was – I don't – there's so many different models.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse my ignorance. But there was – I remember I think Lee Ritenour used a solid body Yamaha. It was a couple other jazzers that were using them, and it was a double cutaway like that is, but it was inlaid and stuff.
I wonder if it was SBG. I'm just sure Lee plays a lot of our silent instruments are you know our hybrid nylon strings quite a bit. I bet you if you go back, you know, I'm not too sure, but I bet you it's an SG.
Okay,
yeah, SBG.
SBG, because they're just, I mean the. But I remember the quality of those guitars. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing them in at NAMM, and they were all this inlay and flame maple. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the funniest things about social media is finding out that there's a lot of Yamaha electric guitar freaks out there in the U.S. We always thought the perception that there's more in Europe and more in South America and things like that. And I think what happened is that a lot of these instruments, like, you know, they have a time release kind of effect on people, you know, so, you know, over the last 10 years, we've actually been, you know, developing and doing more to kind of get away from the delayed reaction.
Well, I think a lot of times, Jeff, is people are looking to play something that's different.
Yeah.
As guitar players, we don't stray much from sound. As we like seeing two humbuckers or three single coils or two.
Yeah, we're basically using 50s technology.
But I think what we're doing with this is we're aiming at a different age group. Certainly we're aiming maybe at millennials who don't necessarily want to play their dad's Gibson or want to kind of create their own identity by playing a Yamaha or another brand. So we think this is just different enough but still sonically
so
familiar.
you're seeing with your younger clients. They're not interested as much in the like getting a vintage Les Paul as much as getting a guitar that does a certain thing for them.
Yeah, we see that quite a bit. I mean, look, if you know they're definitely want a different identity, you know, and they're more individualistic. But at the same time, luckily, you know, guitar players don't just have one or two guitars. So it's great that we have this kind of a new option for guitar players that have a big collection or have been collecting. And they're like, hey, that's something new and different. You know, and that was one of the great things to see at NAMM is like, you know, I was expecting to get different reactions from different age groups, but I was pretty pleasantly surprised to hear from, you know, Gen Xers and baby boomers and saying, man, I love that guitar. And so I think that's another great thing about the line too. It's just everybody can kind of see themselves in a different, you know, in different models.
Well, you have a lot of options. You can make a guitar like the guitar that you're playing over there. That's more of a like it has more of an older
old
look.
School sort of feel. Certainly.
Yeah.
Like 720.
And, you know, and the thing is, there's 17 different models, including colors. So that's a lot to launch all at once. It's made life pretty interesting for us.
Yeah,
especially.
But it gives you, you know, you can make you can become an individual. I mean, there's enough models where.
But we thought being kind of the champion of the entry level guitar player, the beginning guitar player, that we would see more of the RS320 and the RS420 being our biggest sellers. But it's not that fact. Most of our major retailers now are selling the guitars at $799 and up are their bigger selling of the series. So we're seeing that people are actually going to pony up and spend that kind of money on a young musician, which is fantastic, which we
but
want.
But is that an older musician, older working, or is that the younger kids? That's what I'm curious.
That's certainly probably the older, more experienced player. Yeah. But it's nice to have an instrument that people will aspire to play. And that's been something that Yamaha's been working on is, yeah, we're the king of your first guitar, but we're not the champion of your second and third guitar. So right. I think by having Revstar coming to this line from $399 up, is now we can make that second and third purchase a Yamaha rather than a
Well, this guitar, the $399 one here, the $320, I mean, I know from past experience from Yamaha, this guitar, I played it, I fooled around with it before the show. It's a great guitar. If I was going on the road or something, I know I could walk into a store and it, and that's another thing is Yamaha's consistent. They're made consistent, yep, you know.
Very much.
They play, you know, they're in acoustic guitars, woods are woods. They're unique, you know, yeah. Even though, but they're pretty close. Yamaha gets pretty close. But I mean, in terms of playability and tone, I know that I can pick one of these off the shelf and it'll do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that says it right there. And I mean, true. I like that guitar that Andy's playing too. It's beautiful, and I'm a sucker for good wood and good inlay.
Yeah.
But you know that little yellow guitar. You're right.
It's funny.
I'd probably get that first.
Yeah, it's funny. We all got a chance to when we first launched them to kind of pick our own because the ad campaign has been called Meet Your Other Half. You know,
right.
Part of that has to do with. You know, we all have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in us all, and musicians especially, and motorcycle enthusiasts as well. And then, you know, of course, your significant other, sometimes your instrument, you refer to it as that. It was funny, a lot of people picked the most expensive one, you know, our sales guys and our support guys. And then it came back to NAMM and pointing at the 320 and the 502. And it's funny, like they the expensive ones were great, but now they want to supplement and get another one. So their loan requests are like through the roof. They want one of each, which is great. But I immediately went for, you know, like I said, I really like the 620. And then the 320s to me have been just you know, just awesome to play with because it's so different than anything else I play. And we're just really happy with the line. So far, the reviews are great. Globally, it's been really accepted. And, just really happy.
So you guys have been playing these and taking them out to gigs yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know this guitar, I can tell. I can see exactly why you would take this 320 out.
This one was on the stage at the Santa Fe Spring Swap Meet a couple months ago.
In front of a sold-out crowd.
There you go.
But yeah, it's been great, and it's totally different sounds. You know, when I want that meat and potatoes, and I'm playing kind of something AC/DC-ish. You know, this is the one I get, and when I do a little more higher gain, more a little bit more, you know, something with a little bit more bite. You know, I usually go for the 620 or the 820.
Right,
and there is a lot of great arsenal.
And I want to mention to everybody out there too that. These guys are gigging musicians. You gotta. I mean, yes, they've been. You know, they work at Yamaha, and you've probably seen them in the videos and stuff like that. But they are players, so you're hearing it from a practical standpoint. And I mean, that's to me is the most important thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why the line is successful because the input of players.
Yeah.
There's players dealing with it. It's a big. I mean, I've seen it with pedal companies, amp companies. When you're a lot of those guys are players, they know what does work and doesn't work, and they've done it by trial and error. But you guys are, you know, you take them out in the field literally and road test them the real way.
And it's working guys like Armando and I that'll gig with it, but also Jeff Schroeder from the Smashing Pumpkins is a Revstar endorsee. Dave Manichetti from Y&T was just photographed over this past weekend on stage with a Revstar in his hand.
Yeah, 620.
And then the big one from a couple of weeks ago is we're sitting in the office and this Google alerts pops up and Juan S. was opening for the Rolling Stones in South America. He's on stage playing a 502T sitting in on Beast of Burden with the Rolling Stones. So you want to Google that image, America? Look that up. Yeah. We can't pay for that kind of advertising.
Yeah, no. Yeah. These are great guitars, and they're available everywhere, right? You can get them.
Yeah, best place to obviously is go to yamahaguitars.com, check out Revstar.
Now, The other thing that you showed me, which we've heard a little bit while we've been talking, is this amp. And Andy just pulled me aside at NAMM. It's like, this amp's really good. You got to check this out. So he started explaining to me. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, we didn't get a chance because it was a lot of noise and stuff, and we couldn't really crank it up and check it out there. But he said, the sound, trust me. And I know Andy is a tone guy. I know, because I know what he uses and what he's played. And so anyway, this amp, the THR-100, right?
Yeah.
Is what it. Go ahead and explain. This is a very, very cool.
Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of you players out there are familiar with the THR-10, which was a desktop amplifier, mm-hmm. which kind of changed a lot of things for us and how we view amplifiers. And we knew that at some point we're gonna have to address the stage side of things because it just got so popular. So the idea with the THR period was to, you know, continue on this path of modeling amplifiers. VCM is our type of modeling. It's called virtual circuitry modeling, something that we've done in Motif, which is, you know, our synthesizer workstations,
mm-hmm. yes.
our live sound, our rack mountable stuff. It's our way of modeling. We developed it. How we model is that we don't just model the output of a product. We also model the circuitry and mm-hmm, how that mm-hmm. green and orange capacitor behaves under certain temperatures and when it's been on for a while and all that kind of stuff. So it was really important for us to go down that path, but do it in a traditional way where you have knobs mm-hmm. and we don't need a big old Yellow Pages side manual to be able to function the amplifier. Mm-hmm. Make it super light and affordable and very useful. And so that's
the controls on it are very. I took a picture. I'll take a close up of the backside and front side of it, so you can see what it's doing. But it's pretty intuitive and it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we're not computer programmers, Jeff. We're guitar players. We're used to grabbing a knob and turning that knob and getting a different sound or effect out of it. So I think that's where THR-100H and the H Dual that you've photographed here today really kind of excel. There's no GUI. There's no digital window that you have to look into. There's no button to hold down with your nose while you're using your toes or something. It's so easy and intuitive in how it behaves.
Yeah.
And it's very warm and fuzzy. It looks very traditional. So you can you have five amplifier types that you can model. Mm-hmm. And of course you have, and then you also have four types of reverbs, Yamaha VCM reverbs. Three boost pedals, three different types of boost pedals. And then here's what's really awesome, is that not only can you select your amplifier, but you can also select your tube sound on the backside. So you can mix and match different types of amplifiers with different type of tubes that you would never be able to do with, you know, an old school tube amp.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
we were playing around with it a little bit, and we were switching around. Yeah. It's dramatic.
It's wild. And in the topology, you know, Class A and AB. And the scariest of the whole thing is the speaker sims. The impulse response and speaker simulators are scary. Right now we're going direct. And that's one of the many things that you can do with this amplifier is there's no real need to put a microphone in front of it. You can run an XLR right into a PA and get a great wedge mix.
Right.
You can record directly with it. And like I said, you don't have to go through a million presets and just it's all done by feel.
Right. Now, I want to mention they brought a 2x12 cabinet down, but we can't get real loud in the studio. So I went ahead and because we wanted to show the amp simulator, the speaker simulator on the amp. But I thought I couldn't really do justice to I think they cranked it up at the NAMM show. Somebody cranked it and the speakers sounded good. These speakers do sound good and they're voiced for this amp.
Yep.
But tonight, I don't want to shortchange it. You need to crank it up a little bit.
And then what we're doing now, Jeff, as you said, is we're taking an XLR out of each amplifier. So, folks, if you can imagine, this box on top of our speaker cabinet is basically two complete individual amplifiers in one unit. They each have their own dedicated speaker out. Mm-hmm. They each have their own dedicated XLR output. So we can, as Armando and I will show in a few minutes, we're actually playing through the same head right now, but have two completely different sounds running.
Right.
Now, the cool thing about the cabinet that sits underneath it is we have mismatched Eminence drivers, and we have stereo input. So when the head is in dual mode, each amplifier is getting a dedicated speaker out and its own dedicated speaker within that cabinet. So that gives us really a wide stereo field. It gives us that, and we call it the Stevie Ray Vaughan effect. Is, you know, why was he using the Fender, the Marshall, and the Dumble on stage all on at the same time? Because each amplifier had its own voice, but those three voices together made Stevie Ray's voice. Right. So we think by using this amp in dual mode, where I can take a little dirty top and a clean bottom and have them come out at the same time.
We would do that in the studio. If I was playing a blowout sound, I would double it with a guitar clean, and they would just put me on, so you can do that here.
Yeah, you can. It's pretty cool. You know, as simple as the amplifier looks, you know, you don't need another different apparatus to control it. You can control it on the front, and, you know, all the while it's a digital amp. But you could run channel one with one particular sound, channel two with another particular sound, and then you could blend both of them as if you were playing through two different amps and two different speakers.
Right.
And then you have boosts for each one. So you're looking at potentially five different sounds at your disposal without having to reset presets and all that stuff.
Right. He has a foot switch that can switch from amp one to amp two or amp one plus two.
Which is included in the price of purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah, the foot switch. Yeah, that's very cool.
Boost, verb, and then your effects loop.
Now, let me ask you real quick, technically, when you're playing... Now, we have them set up in each amp, so it's set up for two guys playing right now. But I mean, when you're playing by yourself, input one goes to both when you're by yourself.
You can do input one and it'll control both.
It'll control both of
right them. Now, Andy's in input number two, I'm in input number one. I've selected modern, he selected crunch, so just kind of we literally set up in, you know, minutes.
Yeah, no, so. And it was interesting watching them go through the different sounds. But let's do you want to use that
Sure, yeah, why not?
That guitar, and why don't you go through some of the presets?
Okay, do you want to flick the switches, or do you want to play and maybe I can flick through?
If it's up to you.
Here, come on over. I'll go through the
We're there's like they brought three guitars here, so okay, so he's going to use the 320 with the natal body.
So yeah, Andy's on the mic and on the guitar. And
I'll
just going to switch
him on three, so you can speak. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Hello, America.
All right, Andy. So right now, he's in channel one, dedicated.
Okay.
This is modern. I've tried silent guitar on it, and I've tried acoustic electrics, and electric fiddle players played through NAMM on this, and it sounded amazing.
So the amp itself with that setting, it's clean, it's flat enough where acoustic guitar would sound really good.
Absolutely.
It's so almost made for the jazzer, where there's no chance of any gain at all happening, no chance of any overdrive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, where's the? Can you kind of go through also to the? I want to show the speaker emulation because you were talking about that.
Well, I got to say this on the speaker sims, because you can buy outboard ones. You have to use the editor. It has a light editor that goes USB right into your computer,
mm-hmm.
And it comes with, I think, like a package of 10. But there's unlimited amounts of speaker simulations that you could switch. So it's not, that's one thing that you can't really switch the verbs and the boost. You need to connect to your editor, because we didn't want to do too many buttons. And we figured once you choose your speaker sims and your boost and your verbs, you normally don't switch them around much. So
right,
that's
right.
Kind of why we did it that way. And we didn't want to overcomplicate it with a ton of buttons.
Well, what is this one? Do you know what this is in here? Right now,
it's just a 412, just a 412 and a 212 version of this. So it'll emulate the Eminence speakers and that you have and the Eminence drivers.
So it's made right now. It's emulating what the cabinet.
Yeah, it's giving you what the cabinets would normally give you, and then you could go to. There's a lot of websites. I know OnHammer is one of the ones that we use quite a bit. That we're often that we work together, and you can buy them just like you would buy iTunes or something. You know, and you just buy your Sims, and they're great for a lot of guys that play in churches. Love that. A lot of the in-ear guys love that. I like it because I don't have to use the crappy microphone that the local bar might put in front of mine, and then the other guitar player gets a nice microphone, and you're all mad. So I like this because you could just go directly in, and the sound engineers really dig it because it's so easy. You just plug in, you set your volume, and then you're good to go. But how about we go through some of the tube stages in the back?
Okay,
that might be kind of cool.
That's totally unique. So you and there is a difference. I mean, you can hear it. Okay.
So right now, that's EL34s. And the 6L6 is G. Go ahead. KT88s. The way the amplifier reacts, like a 25 watt, a 50 watt, 100 watt. And it doesn't just reduce the power, it behaves like a 25 watt. And we could go through that. Right now he's in 100. Okay. Sorry. You got to go through the speakers to do that.
But the nice thing about this, and Armando mentioned on it just briefly, is it's a digital product. The benefit being, though, is it doesn't always need to have speakers hooked up. So we can run this in a live mode with just XLRs to the board. We can run this in bedroom mode, which means headphones to your head. So it doesn't always need to have a speaker cabinet plugged in.
Right. And one of the things I want to mention, too, that kind of blew me away, because when we were setting up, we originally had it set up with the speaker. And then he just unplugged it, and the amp was on, and I'm like, it's like, you can't do that. And he's like, yeah, you can. It's not since there's no load, which I still don't understand why there isn't a load, but that's okay.
That's pretty wild.
It's wild.
You could switch internally that way. I'm sure on the engineering side they did that.
That's very cool because that happens all the time.
So you can use it as a direct, almost like a direct recording interface with the XLR out, or if you have a church gig, or if you have an artist that is doing fly dates. You take this on, you check it in the overhead compartment of the airline, and you get a cabinet at the venue if you even need a cabinet.
Right.
If you're a player that loves pedals, and let's face it, we all do.
Do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll never go away. This amp is voiced for that. It really, and that was another reason why we kept it really simple. One of the first thoughts that came to my mind, just thinking like a marketing guy, is like, why doesn't it have all the effects that the 10 has? You know, the flange, the chorus, the phase, and all that stuff. And the whole point was that, you know, guys want to use, and girls want to use their pedal board. And, you know, if we would have put that in there, it probably wouldn't have been used as much. So we left it like that. We gave you your verbs, and we gave you everything else you needed.
It's just like a typical amp. I mean, but I love the tube setting is very interesting. I can see a lot of potential with that.
We did an artist summit at here in Burbank, and we had a lot of guys bring in their amps, their new amps, the new school of amplifiers, you know, the ones that are kind of treading on this path, you know, of going direct or you know, with all the, you know, all the modeling type. And we were blown away about how many artists said, I can tour with this.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing how much it costs, because it's under $1,000. You know, it's well under $1,000. And some of the rigs that these guys have are, like, super complicated and can do all kinds of different, you know, tricks, but the THR-100, you know, in tone, just tone wise, and this is from super high gain extreme 8 and 9 string guys to traditional guys, and a lot of them said I would love to just take that all around the world, you know, but they had their endorsements or whatever they have going
right.
on. You know, but you can pretty much do all your bag of tricks with this, and with a great pedal board.
It's got a great sound. I mean, we're hearing it direct, but it's sounding. I mean, it's totally doable.
And like
I'm a tube guy, so I mean,
like Armando said, this isn't a $3,000, you know, forget the house payment sort of product. The dual version streets for about $800. Mm-hmm. The dual cabinet streets for about $500. And then we make a single strip version called the THR-100H, which is, I'm sorry, $799 for the dual head,
yep.
$499 for the cabinet, $599 for the single head, and $299 for the coolest little 1x12 cabinet.
Yep.
So we can certainly make a rig to fit any sort of size room you're playing if you need cabinets at all.
Now, both of you guys have taken this and gigged with this thing.
I've been using it since September.
Okay, now let me ask you this. How does this amp react to you using a booster, a gain booster in your pedal board? Like, you know, if you're using like, I'm trying to think, like one of the Ibanez.
Sure, tube screamer.
Tube screamer.
Well, it's got a very similar model built in, but you can always go to your pedal and just don't engage the boost. You know,
but does it work? I mean,
it works great.
If you want to overdrive the input, it's okay. I mean,
it's quite okay. I mean, I wish I would have brought one to show you, but I used an old Busta Grande, and it sounded really sweet, and I really liked it. And you know, the thing with it is that there's less noise, so it's probably going to be even sweeter. You know,
yeah.
But since it's got kind of the built-in, you know, it's got an orange, a green. And white, I think you could kind of
right. Well, you know, I mean, when I play live, I usually just crank the amp up. I don't use much overdrive. I let the amp do it. But this functions. But a lot of guys now use those, and there's different ones now that emulate. Like I have one that emulates like a Dumble front end.
Oh, nice.
That pops and it, you know, so that would be more. It would be kind of interesting to try it. But it's an amp. Like if you know. Yeah. It's like if I had an old Fender Twin or I had an old Marshall Plexi. It's an amp, and but more than that, you can make it into whatever you want.
Yeah, this has plenty of headroom in the front, which I think is what you're getting at, Jeff, is when you come in through the front of the amp, plenty of headroom to handle your pedals. But also in the back is you've got a effects loop that via its USB connection, I can change it to be series or parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have some flexibility with the loop in the back as well.
It was great. The amp is also very responsive to rolling down the volume on your pickup and the boost. So I use the boost on quite a bit.
Just leave it on.
Because what I do is I reduce the gain, use the boost, so I have now clean and dirty, and I can roll off the volume and then have even cleaner. That's how I use the single channel one. So I have my three sounds there. And then so right now I'm just kind of... About half volume.
Now do me a favor and go to the rhythm pickup.
Okay.
And pull back your tone so you get the woman tone. And and then play with the gain and just so they get an idea of it. Because that's a good way to
tone's completely off right now.
Because that bloom that you get from it. And play a little riff or something.
Okay, so that's with the tone all the way.
And that's the neck pickup.
Oh, here it is. Here's the neck pickup. And then there's a tone knob down about. Okay, here.
The tone, so you're just getting a little bit of bloom from it. Okay, now back the volume even more, and then just just play like a blues riff right there. So it gets that. What I'm trying to show is like I that's one of the things I get out of my regular amp. It's got a little bit of distortion in there. And then you have plenty when you need it.
Yeah. And that's the $399 RS-320.
So pretty wild. Very responsive. And that was the dynamics is a big thing that happened with THR-10 and the THR-100. And can we say how much does that weigh, Andy? 11?
The head weighs a little less than 9 pounds. 8.8 pounds is the weight of the head.
Yeah, that it's amazing.
It's full of bunny fluff and crocodile tears, as we say in the trays.
It's very light, and it's real easy. It's small. It's very. Yeah. It's not very big. I'm trying to compare it. I don't have anything that small in my amps because they're old tubes. Yeah. But it's like. It's like a power supply. I mean, it's lighter than even a power supply. It's really nice.
And there's lots of content out there if you want to, research the amp. You know, if you just research THR-100 and just look at all the countless videos and reviews. And, towards the end of the last year, I forgot, I think got, like, amp of the year. And I forget, from a few publications, and there's a new YouTube video out there that I saw recently where there's a recording engineer showing how to record with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Well, the direct, I mean, just, you're hearing it now, and we're at, I told you guys it would go fast.
Yeah.
We're already out of time. I just want to mention, yes, check out the quality of these guitars and the consistency of the guitars and the amps. It's just, that's one of the things that Yamaha's reputation has always been. It's been consistent. And this amp is real. I'm blown away because I really got, this is the first chance I've really heard it under a microscope. Good. Hearing it direct like this, you can really tell what's going on. I want to mention real quick, you can www.yamahaguitars.com. Guitars.com. To get more information on this, and they're available everywhere. Andy, you guys are gigging, so tell me, what are you guys up to? What are you doing?
Well, I still have my band called the Jackpot Club. We just celebrated our 7th anniversary the other day, and kind of doing my blues and rockabilly thing around Orange County, and come on out and look us up and have a good time with us.
Okay, and besides the swap meet in Norwalk, what are you up to? Are you doing any gigs coming up that people could check
out? Yeah, I'm in a band called Metal 101. We do all the classic hard rock and heavy metal stuff, and we're also in an original band called Psychic Mafia. We're doing a March of Dimes fundraiser. I'm doing 5 sets. At Boomers in Long Beach on May 7th.
Very cool.
No admission, free parking. Come on down, and it's for a good cause.
No, I want to thank you guys. It's just really great to have you back, and these are great, great instruments and great amp. I really am excited about it.
Well, thanks for having us again, Jeff. We really, really appreciate it, and thanks to your listeners for being here.
And we're going to have them back. I'm going to lock the date in the next few days, and we're going to do an acoustic one and talk more about the reissue of the guitar that I bought many years ago in high school. And we're gonna have them back, and expect to hear more. Anything real quick before we have you guys play out? Do you want to use that guitar, or do you want to switch?
No, this is good.
Okay, so we're going to have them play. But real quick, any scoop, anything, what's coming up, anything new from Yamaha? Because you guys are always doing awesome stuff.
Sure. Well, this summer NAMM time frame, we're going to release, again, no big secret, we're going to do some limited run of Pacificas that are coming out. And they're called Pacifica 612V. And a very limited run of those coming out. Really cool. You can probably look at pictures online somewhere right now. Okay. And then, of course, our classic BB line. Some excitement's happening with that. We'll see. We'll see soon.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Now, on the left-hand side is Armando.
Yep.
Just hit your guitar real quick so I know it's you.
The RS-320?
Yeah, he's on the left end, and you're on the right. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take us out. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week.